Well, Horst, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And today I'm going to present to you a message I preached at one time to our local congregation here in Jacksonville. And I've entitled it, Without God and Without Hope. That identifies so many people, doesn't it? So many in our nation today and so many in the world today are without God and without hope. And that's where each of us were before we came to Christ. We were without God and without hope. So I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you ears to hear as I take you into this message I preach, Without God and Without Hope. And may God bless you as you listen. To Ephesians chapter 2, hope to cover verses 10 through 22. And I've titled this, Without God and Without Hope. If you're without God, you're without hope. Understand when I speak to you on Sunday mornings, I'm speaking to the radio congregation from the East Coast to the West Coast and up into Canada. But without Christ, there is no hope. Every single human being is one heartbeat from eternity. The next heartbeat could be the last heartbeat. And it doesn't matter whether you're 105, or 15, or 35, or 25. The next heartbeat could be the last. You never know. I want you to understand this morning, and when I'm teaching you instead, now in the radio congregation, we had a mixed multitude. We got people who've never heard the gospel. We've got people from different expressions of religious life, Catholic, Jehovah's Witnesses. We got all kinds of different people out there. In here, I try to bring the message down to a point where it's primarily to you, but can speak to them when we put it on the radio. So this morning, without God and without hope, from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10. But before I get there, read you one other scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Don't try to track me now. I'll just read it to you. Then we'll get into Ephesians. That's the title. Therefore, if any man, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Understand this. And now this is something that was never explained to me as I was coming up through church and then when I went out into the world and came back to the church. This was never really explained to me. Preachers get to the pulpit, and it's almost like they assume everybody's at the same level. And I'm going to preach the message, and I expect everybody to receive the message. When the truth of the matter is, in most congregations, you've got those who are in spiritual kindergarten. You've got those in spiritual grammar school. You've got some in further advanced. Then you've got some further advanced. You've got five stages that you come through. And I think many times we make a mistake when we think that everybody, I know we make a mistake, is at the same level. What I'm trying to do this morning is break down Ephesians chapter 2, verses 10 and following, so that you can walk out of here encouraged, strengthened in your walk with the Lord. New creation. If you've been born again, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Now, not everything is passed away at one time. It's a process, folks. Don't give up on yourself because God's not going to give up on you. It's a process. You come into the kingdom of God as an infant, and you come in the kingdom of God with a lot of baggage hanging on you for your pre-conversion life. We're not all perfect. None of us are perfect. But each and every one of us came into the kingdom of God with a lot of baggage from the world still on us. That's called the process of sanctification. As we come through the different levels of sanctification, more and more of that baggage that we brought into the kingdom of God from the world is removed from us as we devote ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're honest with God and ourselves, and as we continue in a life, it's a life of continual repentance. And you're going to find this. How do I know I've lived it? You'll be sporting through life, and all of a sudden the Lord or the Holy Spirit will remind you of things you said, things you did, things you were 25, 30, 35, 40 years ago that were unChrist-like, that were ungodly, that have never been confessed. So you confess it then. It is a progressive coming closer, a progressive becoming more mature in the body of Christ. Old things are passed away. They are in the process of passing away. That is called discipleship, as we become increasingly more like Christ. Old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. We take a new look, a new fresh look at things, the way life is lived. Now, the process. In the process, there are stages and levels of spiritual growth. Please understand that. There are levels and stages of spiritual growth. What stage am I in? I'm not sure. I might be in the intermediate stage. I don't know. Adolescent stage. I don't know. I don't know what stage you're in. But we don't want to think too highly of ourselves. If we start thinking too highly of ourselves, that shows that we're still in a pretty low stage of spiritual growth. So, with that in mind, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm working with a New Living Translation. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Out of all of humanity, now stop and think about what I'm about to say to you. Out of all of humanity, past, present, and future, God has a people. Out of all of humanity, past, present, today, and future. You see, there are people who are still going to come to Christ that you think they don't stand a chance. There are people that God knows at some point in time. I mean, what did you come through before you got to Christ? What kind of person were you? What kind of life did you live? And how did you come to Christ? And did you come to Christ in a flashing moment of realization of this is what I am and that's who he is, and in that split second you come to Christ? Or was it a progressive? A progressive coming to Christ culminating in a moment in time when you truly realize, wait a minute, I'm a sinner and I need to be born again. And is that when you... I remember when I was about... 14, 15 years old. I was concerned about salvation. And yes, I had made a profession of faith, and yes, I was in church, and I was in church every Sunday. I was in Sunday school every Sunday. I was in BTU, Baptist Training Union. I was in all of it. But I was about 15 or 16 years old, and I was home alone. It was a Sunday afternoon. My mother, my dad, my sister had gone somewhere, and I was in the kitchen. And I remember pulling a chair up in front of the cabinets and falling on my knees and saying to God, I don't know. I'm not sure. I want to know that I know that I know that I'm saved. So if I'm not saved, I want to be saved now. Now, I had gone down, I was about 6 or 7 years old, and I was trying to make a profession. The leather-lunged preacher, Troy London, had just preached a tremendous message on heaven and hell. And I knew I didn't want to go to hell, and I didn't want to go to heaven. My mom was in the choir, so I notioned to her, can I go down? And she said, yes. Yeah. So I went down, and I knew how I was receiving Christ. And I'm talking to people in here, you know what I'm talking about. As best I knew, I was receiving Christ. I didn't understand. You see, I think there's a misunderstanding in the church today that, okay, if I accept Christ as my Savior, I'm born again, it's a wash, I got it whipped, I'm done. They don't understand that there are levels of maturity to come through, levels of spiritual growth. There's things in your life, there were things in my life, attitudes, reactions, responses, any number of things, that as we come through the process of spiritual growth, we have to come to grips with those things. And we have to acknowledge those things and confess those things as sins. It may be a habit. It may be a practice. It may be an attitude. It can be something as simple as and yet as large as prejudice. Prejudice. Do you realize the family of God is made up of people from all races, all tongues, all nations? The family of God. You're going to be surprised. We're all going to be surprised. Matter of fact, we may be surprised when we get to heaven and realize the people that we never thought would make it. But then there were some of those who thought we would never make it. So we're all in this thing together. But God has a people in every nation, in every tribe, in every tongue, at every level. God has a people. And we need to keep that in mind. Circumcision. Now, circumcision was a physical sign of a covenant between God and his people, between the Lord and the Jewish people. Go back to 2:11 again. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Now, I told you a moment ago, God has a people. In Ephesians 2:11, don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathen by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their heart. Now, circumcision was a physical sign, if you will, of the covenant between God and the Jews. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and had this to say about circumcision. He was writing to the church at Corinth. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. He's saying your circumcision doesn't make you right with God. Whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, that's not the key. The key is, have you been born again? Have you been made right with God? Are your sins forgiven? Is Christ your Savior? That's what he's saying to him. Once again, 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing, uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of our God is what matters. Obedience. The Word of God tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, that obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to God. And I keep telling you this. I want you to understand, God doesn't shout. God never shouts. Many, many times, I've demonstrated this over the years, that you're coming through life, and if you're not careful, you're miserable because God just a little in your spirit. I don't like that attitude. I don't like that reaction. I don't like that thought life. I don't like what you just said. I don't like what you just did. I don't like what you're thinking about doing. I don't like the way you think about handling that situation. Your response, your reaction. I mean, it's not that he grabs you by the shoulders and shakes you and says, listen to me. No. Just a little touch of the Spirit. If you're not sensitive to the Spirit, you'll miss it. Now, as we progressively become more Christ-like, as we progressively submit and surrender to the Lordship of Christ in our lives, as we become more attentive to and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that's when you feel the checks. You feel the release in the Spirit. You feel the check in the Spirit. There's been how many times I was planning on saying something, responding to something. You'd be surprised how many times I'm listening to somebody. I don't say a word. I just listen. I kind of nod or whatever. I just listen. Because I'm listening to what's being said, and I'm filtering what's being said in light of the Word of God. In light of the Word of God. This attitude, this action, this reaction, this response. I have to do that with myself. You have to do the same thing. Because you'll respond in an unchristlike way. And then you'll grieve the Holy Spirit. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, then you're not that sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you won't get that little against your spirit. Folks, I'm telling you, walking with God requires sensitivity in the Spirit. It requires real sensitivity in the Spirit. And I don't know that a great deal of the church is really aware that that is our walk with the Lord. It's that sensitivity to the Spirit. And once you get that sensitivity, it will guide you through life, but you got to reaction and respond to it. You can't be a part of everything you want to be a part of. You can't respond and reply to everything you want to the way you want to. You've got to have the heart and the mind of the Spirit. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience? I don't like to obey all the time, somebody says. Well, it doesn't matter what you like. It's what he says. Obedience is better than sacrifice, Ephesians 2:12. In those days, talk about before you were born again, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world. Watch this carefully. This just slapped me hard. You lived in this world without God and without hope. Look at that. You lived in this world without God and without hope. One heartbeat from eternity. I have looked my life over, and I think back that night when Troy Lennon was preaching, and I'm sitting on the front row, and he's preaching on heaven and hell. I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. If I wasn't saved that night, I was safe. Do you know what I mean by that? If I wasn't saved, I was safe. Because God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not want to be born again. This is so simple. But most of the church misses it. I keep telling you that you were not a surprise to God. You were not a surprise to God when you came to Christ. When you received Christ as your Savior. And when you came into the kingdom, well, I brought a lot of baggage into the kingdom of God with me when I came. In the sins of the fathers. The Word of God says He'll visit the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. And that becomes a continuum until somebody in that bloodline draws a line in the sand, as I've told you so many times, and says, no, that's not going to be a part of my life. I know it was in my father's life. I know it was in this life or that life. I don't understand. See, I don't know everything was in my bloodline. But I know this. I know the Word of God says that the sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generation. So once I realize, wait a minute, I may have at 6 or 7 or 8 years of age, I may have indicated a desire to be born again. That does not mean that I was born again, but I was safe then. God knew my heart. And then God has known, this is so hard, I've never heard this preached, I don't think in my life heard this preached in a church. God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not choose to receive Him. He set in motion a series of events culminate in your coming to Christ. He did it. But you see, you were of the elect before the foundation of the world. Won't you understand who the elect are? The elect are every person from every tongue, from every tribe, from every nation, from wherever the world, that God knew from eternity past would at some point in time submit and surrender to Him and be born again. God knew that. He's never been surprised about anything. You, me, we were strangers to the gospel. Look at this again now. In verse 12. Those days you were living apart from Christ. Do you remember those days? I look back and wish I hadn't lived those days. In those days you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises. Didn't know them. God had made to them, you lived in the world without God and without hope. In other words, a life apart from Christ. We were all living a life apart from Christ, and we were excluded, if you will, we were excluded from citizenship in the family of God. We were excluded. We were living a life apart from Christ, every last one of us. We lived in a world, if you will. Our world was one of spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. We didn't really comprehend things of the Spirit. I'm convinced to this day that this morning, in churches around the nation, we have hundreds, maybe thousands of people who don't have the foggiest idea what it really means to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. The churches are full of them. They're religious, but they're not born again. They're involved in religious activities, but they're not in the life of Christ. And yet, God knows who they're going to be. He knows who is going to receive His Son, Christ Jesus, as their Savior. He knows that, and He's working a plan in Ephesians 2:13. But now, Paul goes on, you have been united with Christ Jesus. I wish I could get this across as deeply as I'd like to get it across. I'm saying to you, and how many of us sat in church? I remember as a teenager sitting in the back of the church with this girl I was dating, and we were flipping the pages, and we would look at the title to a hymn, and we'd say under the covers. We'd add that to it. As carnal as cats. And she was a church pianist. Folks, I'm telling you, we don't grasp the fullness of what this is all about. And too many times I find that God's people are living in the past. They can't turn loose of what they were, where they went, what they said, what they did. But you never did or said anything. You never went anywhere that caught God by surprise. God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not receive Him as Lord and Savior. But He also knew everything they would be involved in before they came to Him and received Him as Lord and Savior and still loved us. See, that's amazing to me that He could look at us in all of our rebellion and sin and whatever we were doing and all that we were involved in and all that we were saying, and He still loved us. But He knew, because He's never learned anything new, He knew there's going to come a time, you're going to repent of that, you're going to be sorry you said that, you're going to be sorry you did that, you've been sorry you went there. Let me slow down a minute. I got people sitting here this morning that you don't understand yourself, why you respond or react the way you do at times. You don't understand the wounds and the bruises in the spirit. And wounds and bruises in the spirit can start in the womb. And then you come out of the womb, and those wounds and bruises in the spirit, then you get further wounds and bruises in the spirit as you are a little child. Something, this happens, that happens. You were treated this way, you were treated that way. All kinds of things. And then you come through the adolescent years. And you come through the later years. And you come into young adulthood. But things impacted you. And I'm so thrilled to find preachers back in the 16th, 17th, 18th century that held this position, because it's my position. I realized years ago that the sins of the fathers are real. That the sins in the ancestral bloodline are real. That unclean spirits track the bloodline. And they stay in the bloodline. And they manifest in the bloodline until you come to a knowledge of the truth and say, I'm drawing a line in the sand. Your job and my life is finished. And we got people sitting here this morning. I know you're born again. I don't have any doubt at all that you're born again. But you've had wounds in the spirit. You've had bruises in the spirit. You've had things that affected you that you didn't even know affected you. And in affecting you, they infected you with unclean spirits. It's reality, folks. The Word of God teaches it. This is reality. And we can try to ignore it. We can say, I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to believe that. And we just go on being deceived and deluded and still responding and reacting in ways to life that we should not respond and react. Once again, back up to 12. In those days, before you were born again, you were living, we were living. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. Don't forget where you come from. Don't ever forget where you come from. You don't have to live there, but if you remember where God brought you from, you'll be more appreciative of what God has done for you. Because I think back on my life and I say, good grief, how could I have ever been a part of that? I was a class act sinner. I was a class act sinner. I sinned in the right way, in the right places, the right, you know, among the right people. But I still sinned. Still sinned. A nice sinner. And I'm looking at some of you the same way. You've been nice sinners, you know, but still a sinner. In those days, you, talking about us, were living apart from Christ, separated from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in the world without God and without hope. Here again, a life apart from Christ, totally apart from Christ, a world of spiritual darkness. Each of us were walking in a world of spiritual darkness, Ephesians 2:13. But now, you have been united with Christ Jesus. Wow. Each of us, born again, have now been united with Christ Jesus. There's a reason I've got to say this. Everybody in here is one heartbeat from eternity. And if the last heartbeat comes and that person is not united to Christ, they're separated from God forever. Hell is their home because they refused to submit and surrender. There's a world of difference. Hear me carefully. Lord, help me. There's a world of difference between being born again and being religious. World of difference between being born again and being religious. Those who have been born again are new creations. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You don't want to do the things you used to do. You don't want to go the place you used to go. You don't want to say the things you used to say. Your desire is to become every day of the world. You want to become increasingly more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you want to become increasingly more like the Lord Jesus Christ, there's certain things you will not be a part of. There's things you won't read. There's things you won't watch on TV. There's things you won't do. Why? Because it's not Christ-like. And you see, the Holy Spirit of God in you is, if you will, prompting you to more Christ-likeness every day of the world. The question is, am I sensitive to that prompting by the Holy Spirit? Will I submit and surrender to that prompting of the Holy Spirit? Folks, it's a process. It's a lifelong process. And I think too much of the church doesn't realize that. But now, you've been united with Christ. United with Christ? How? You've been united with Christ Jesus? How? How did you become united with Christ Jesus? Born again. There came a point in time in your life when you were so miserable with what you were, you understood, I am a sinner. I don't have Christ as my Savior. If I die in this condition, I go to hell. It was a progressive thing for some. And some, it was like the light was turned on. For some, and I've seen some like that, they heard the message of truth and the gospel, and it was like, a light was turned on, and they saw it for what it was. They saw themselves for what they were, and they were born again right then and there. Others, it was a progressive revelation. It was a progressive illumination as they came from this level to this level to this level and reached a certain level where they finally realized, I'm lost, I'm a sinner, I need Christ. Now, we are still sinning Christians. We sin as Christians. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. But, yes, we still sin, but praise God. The sin was paid for at Calvary. All we've got to do is acknowledge and confess it, and it's taken care of. Now, once again, we lived in a world of spiritual darkness. Absolute spiritual darkness. You stop and think back. Freddie, how old were you when you got saved? 17? Far as you know. It was a kind of a process. How old were you when you got saved? 17. How old were you when you got saved? 17, 18. Okay. Quinn, how old were you when you got saved? Gary? Henry? 24, 25. Do you realize that no matter at what point in time that moment came that you were born again, God knew before the foundation of the earth that you would be born again? It was a process of illumination, a process of conviction, a process of understanding and listening to and finally having the Spirit of God move in your spirit. I was a kid of 6-7 years old, and I, as I said, I heard that preacher preaching on hell and heaven, and I knew I wanted to go to heaven and I didn't want to go to hell. But I didn't have the foggiest idea what was really involved in being born again, and I had no idea of what sanctification was all about. And I dare say it's true of most of us in here. We had no real understanding of sanctification and the process of sanctification by which we increasingly, day by day, year by year, become more Christ-like. Now let's put that in real everyday terms. You at one time were watching television programs you wouldn't watch today. You at one time were part of conversations you would not be a part of today. You were at one time using vocabulary that you would not use today. It's been a process, and God is not through with you yet. God is still working with you, and frankly, He'll be through with you when He brings you to glory. Once again. But now, you've been, in verse 13, you've been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near to Him. How? Church membership? No. Baptism? No. Godly parents? No. Godly home? No. Through the blood of Jesus. Only through the blood of Jesus. Only through the blood of Jesus have we been made right with God. United with Christ Jesus? How did I become united with Christ Jesus? Through the new birth. I had to be born again. I had been born the first time in a human body, sin nature. No matter how sweet and cute I may have been as a baby, I still had a sin nature. So did you. Now, I reached a point in time when I was born again. I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, progressively, I developed in this new nature to the point that as I came through level after level after level after level, there were things I would not read, things I would not say, things I wouldn't listen to, places I wouldn't go. Just, folks, it's everything. It's everything from what you will watch on TV to what you won't watch on TV. The movie you'll go to, the movie you won't go to. What you will read, what you won't read. You say, now, Bob, it sounds to me like that's legalism. It's not. Understand this. It's not legalism. It's discipleship. It's becoming increasingly Christ-like. Can you imagine Jesus Christ paying a few dollars to go in and sit down and watch a pornographic movie? No. My life, I need to live the life Christ would live. I need to let Christ in me express Himself in the way He wants to express me in what I do, what I don't do, what I say, what I won't say, what I listen to, what I won't listen to, what I'll be a part of, what I won't be a part of. Folks, this is basic discipleship, that every day of the world we are to become increasingly more Christ-like, and each of us has to be sensitive. Was that attitude Christ-like? The thoughts. The Word of God says take every thought captive. Do you do that? Word says take every thought captive. I've got to be willing to evaluate my thought life and say that's not of Christ. That's not Christ-like. And when I have that ungodly, unholy thought, I've got to confess that as sin. But that's why the Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Why? Because every day of the world, I don't care who you are, you're going to think something, say something, or do something unchristlike. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The key is, keep the sin list short. The moment you realize you've sinned, you've grieved the Holy Spirit, quenched the Holy Spirit, call it what God calls it. Call it sin. Confess it, then go and enjoy. Verse 14. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles. Whoa, wait a minute. If He united Jews and Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles were made up of people from every race, every tongue, And yet the word says he united the Jews, which were a specific group of people. God had to have a people through whom he could reveal himself to the rest of the world. So he chose Abraham. From Abraham he brought forth Isaac. And beginning with Isaac, he brings forth a nation of people we call Jews. That was how he was identifying and going to represent himself to the rest of the nations of the world. But then you got that bunch of Gentiles. Now, so what he's going to do, he's bring the Jews and the Gentiles together, those that will be born again. You don't become a child of God just because you're a Jew. And you don't become a child of God just because you're a Gentile. You become a child of God when you're born again. But he had those in the Jewish race who were born again. He had those in the Gentile race who was born again. And he brings them together as a new community. So we are a new community made up of Jews and Gentiles in the family of God. As such, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, which means that person of that other race that you look down on may be your brother or sister in Christ. You need to be careful, because sometimes that person you start judging and you're criticizing, they may be closer to Christ than you are. They may be living a more godly life than you are. It's so easy for us to categorize people, judge people, and positionalize where people are concerned. This is a stage I've had to come through, and I'm still coming through it. So are you, if you'll be honest with yourself and God. You are still coming through this stage of spiritual growth. And I have to catch myself. In this day and age, our nation has hundreds of thousands of illegals in it. And every one of those illegals represent to us a problem. And we want them to come in the right way. I'm not waxing political here. I'm just stating facts. We are not opposed to other people from other nations coming in. We just want them to come in the right way. We want them to come through the process that they're supposed to come through. And yet in that mix that's coming in, there are people in there who love Jesus. There are people there who love Jesus, and they may love Jesus more than I do. They may be more committed to him. You see, I have to be careful, because if I become judgmental, it is so easy to become judgmental. It is so easy to become critical. It just comes so natural to us, and yet that grieves the Spirit of God, and that quenches the Spirit of God. All, look at once again, 14. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people. Now, stop and think about this. He's done that for every group of people in the world. Out of all the different races and nationalities, there is a people of God. And we've all been united into, those of us who've been born again, are united into the body of Christ. He did this in his own body on the cross. He broke down the wall of hostility and that separated us. Too many times we don't accept the fact that the wall has been torn down. We still keep the wall up there. We're united in Christ Jesus as the family of God. As the family of God, you're my brother. You're my sister. Freddie, you're my brother in Christ. We have different color skin. We come from different backgrounds, but you're my brother in Christ. But so are you. You're my brother in Christ. Everybody in here, Gary, even you, work in progress, aren't we all?
Yes, sir.
We're all a work in progress. So when you stop and realize what the Word is saying here, that from every race, from every tongue, from every culture, from every expression of civilized life, God has a people. God has a people. And God has chosen and selected people that you wouldn't give the time of day to. Matter of fact, you take one look at them and kind of write them off. But their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Once again, Ephesians 2:16 now. No, 2:15. He did this by ending the system of law with his commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Christ Jesus fulfilled the law. The law of Moses had 613 laws in it. Christ Jesus fulfilled every law. 613 laws, and then attributed to you when you were born again as though you had fulfilled that law. 2:16. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. It should be put to death. And we must put it to death because he has made provision for it to be put to death. Jesus Christ did what no legislative body could do. Jesus Christ did what no legislative body could do. He did what no government edict could do. You see, people who are born again can connect. We can connect. Regardless of our race, regardless of our background, regardless of our position in life, we can connect. No government edict can make that happen. Only Christ can make that happen. You can have, I've seen program after program after program, and it was designed to somehow force people to become related to each other. It won't work. Only Christ can do that. Ephesians 2:17. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles. Paul is talking to the Gentiles now. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. You see, the Gentiles were outside the covenant relationship with God. We were outside the covenant relationship, but the Jews were inside that covenant. Now, this had to be a people. What he was after, God wanted a people through whom he could reveal himself to the nations of the world. And he started with the Jews. And he revealed himself through the Jews, through that nation, to the other nations of the world. Now, he wants to do that through us. He wants to reveal himself to the nations of the world through the church. Abraham was the father of that nation, and yet Abraham himself, as he was the father of that nation, and now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Jew and Gentile were just one. Those born again, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're from that jungle or this cosmopolitan area, we all come to Christ, come to God through the same process, being born again. So now, those of us who have been born again have direct access to the throne of God. Come here. Hear what I mean. What's your nationality? Ethiopian. You're a long way from home, aren't you? When did you come to Christ? At the age of 27, you came to Christ. When did you come to America?
2012.
Yes. You came to America. Okay. So you came to Christ at age 27.
Yes.
Ethiopian.
Yes.
Where did you receive Christ? In Ethiopia or over here?
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Yes.
So you were a Christian when you came to the United States. So what you're saying is you're my brother. You're my brother in Christ.
Yes.
We're in the same family.
Yes.
Ethiopia, Florida. Now, why do you do that?
Respect.
Respect.
Yeah, culture.
So that's a simple respect when you shake hands. I've noticed you always do. That's a simple respect. Come here, let me hug you. All right. You can go back now. Thank you. From every tongue, from every tribe, from every nation, we have this in common. We recognize we were sinners. We came to Christ. We were born again. Now, he is as much a part of the family of God as I am a part of the family of God. He is my brother in the Lord. And everybody in here, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord if we have been born again. And there's no room for prejudice, for hatred, for hostility. There's no room. Oh, my word. Ephesians 2:19. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You just saw an example of that right here. An Ethiopian, an American. He's got the same thing here. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. I know you never look down on another person. I know that none of you are prejudiced. I know that none of you ever have harsh feelings towards someone else of another nationality or race. But you got to understand this, and this is going to sting. That other person may be walking closer to God than you are. That other person may be further the road in their spiritual maturity than I am. I have to take the position. What does the Word of God says? Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So we can't do that. We just can't do that. So now you Gentiles, now the Jews and the Gentiles had problems. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens alone with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. We're all together in God's family. I may as well get along with you because I'm going to be with you for all eternity. And you stop and think about every believer. We're going to be together in the new heavens and the new earth throughout all of eternity, so we may as well get along down here now. Amen? Those born again, those are the ones that's going to be in heaven together, in the new heavens and the new earth. Together, we're His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus Himself. Those of us who've been born again, we're a new creation. We're a new nation. We're one family. Regardless of what language, regardless of the color of our skin, we are one family. Ephesians 2:21. In whom, Christ Jesus, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Born again, joined together, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now, one reason I'm touching this morning, because the Holy Spirit's kind of impressing it on me, I can be critical. I can be critical in a heartbeat. I can be judgmental in a heartbeat. And I know that. That's a problem I have to deal with. And I have to constantly take it before the Lord. I can't afford to be critical. I can't afford to be judgmental. That's just another process I'm having to come through in my sanctification process. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. But those of us who've been born again, regardless of our race, the color of our skin, our economic condition, whatever, born again, joined together, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are family. We are the family of God. We are individually and collectively, if you will, the inhabitants of God's kingdom. Collectively, individually. We're collectively, individually, inhabitants of God's kingdom. Ephesians 2:22, through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Each of us are part of the building. Each of us are part of the body. Each of us individually, I'm closing this down now, so get this. Each of us in here, regardless of our educational background, regardless of our race, regardless of our economic status, regardless of anything else, each and every one of us in here are an individual member in the body of Christ. You make up a part of the body of Christ. Born again, citizen of the kingdom of God, just waiting for the last heartbeat so you can go in and take place in an eternity. But understand this, through you, through Him, you Gentiles, Paul says, are also being made part of His dwelling where God lives by His Spirit. Gentile and Jew, those born again are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Amen. Tap yourself on the chest right now and say, I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. You're indwelt by the creative power of this universe. And He wants to release more of Himself through you than most of us are allowing Him to release through us. He wants to release Himself. We're one with Christ. We're one with God through Christ Jesus. Oh, my soul. It's not your affiliation with an expression of the church. It is our affiliation with Christ Jesus, having been born again. Being a Baptist or Presbyterian doesn't make you right with God. Only being born again. The church is the body of Christ on earth today. You are part of the body of Christ on earth today. And it is compiled, if you will, of people from every walk, every level of life. People that we wouldn't give the time of day to are in the body of Christ. And that's something we have to keep in mind. We who are now new creations in Christ Jesus are future citizens of the new heavens and the new earth. So we're going to be together throughout all of eternity. So we may as well get along now. Now, walk out of here with this understanding. You don't know who is and who is not kingdom of God. There's people in the kingdom of God that you perhaps wouldn't give the time of day to. But they're born again. They're new creations. And you're going to spend eternity with them. So you may as well get along with them down here now. Do you ever, just going through life, have a negative, prejudicial thought?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Do you, Freddie? That's what I mean. Each of us need to be sensitive to what I'm processing. That thought, the Word of God says, take every thought captive. Take every thought captive. And I realize we're not going to do that. But we should make an effort. We should make an effort to evaluate, was that thought Christ-like or un-Christ-like? Was that contrary to the Word of God? Was it in alignment with the Word of God? Was it in alignment with Christ Jesus himself? It's a walk, folks. But it's a walk in which we all have to come to grips with reality. Denying reality doesn't help. But if we'll just make up our mind, Holy Spirit, where I need conviction, I want conviction. Holy Spirit, where I need illumination, I want illumination. I want to be convicted. I want illumination because I want to become daily, day by day by day, I want to become increasingly Christ-like. I think one of the things where we're lacking in church is understanding that each and every one of us are at a different level of spiritual growth. And we're doing things and saying things today they wouldn't do and say tomorrow or when we take the next level. As we become increasingly more Christ-like, more and more of what we did and were and said becomes known. We don't do that anymore. I don't say that anymore. Well, thank you so much for joining us today here on Challenge. And I close the broadcast out today. I want to call you to prayer. I don't know if Donald Trump knows the Lord or not. I really don't. I can't judge that. I'm not the judge. But I know this. He needs God. He needs the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He needs the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And we, the people of God, those of us who have access to the throne of God, need to be going before the throne of God in intercessory prayer, asking God to do what only he can do, not only in the life of Donald Trump, but in the life of this nation. So I wonder if we might just take a couple of moments and close the broadcast out today with prayer, asking God to do just exactly that, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the privilege of having access to your throne. I thank you, Father God, that you invite us to come to your throne. And I thank you as one of your children, adopted into the family of God, I have access to your throne along with many of these who have joined us today. Father, our nation is in trouble. The world is in trouble. But we have seen in recent years our nation sink lower and lower and lower into ungodly behavior and ungodly actions. And Father, there's so many lifestyles in the nation that are anathema to you, lifestyles that you denounce. And Father God, we're praying for a move of your Holy Spirit in the nation. We need a move of God at every level of life in the nation, Father. Starting with the church, Lord, starting with the church, we're asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit, cleansing the church, Father God, purging the church, purifying the church. And Father God, we're asking you to invade the ranks of those who have religious organizations that are trying to be a part of the church but don't understand what it takes to be part of the church. We're asking for revival, Father. We're asking for a spiritual renewal. We're asking you to move in a supernatural way in this nation, starting with the blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ, and then moving through the religious organizations in this nation who think they're part of the blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ, but in fact are just religious organizations. And then, Father, we ask you to move in our Senate, our House, in the Supreme Court, at the state level. Father God, we're asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit in this nation, burning out the dross, stirring our hearts to fervency, to repentance, to holiness, and to prayer. And Father, we pray for Donald Trump. Oh, Father God, if he doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, we ask you to save his soul and surround him with those in his cabinet who know Christ as their Savior and who will not compromise. They will submit and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and lead this nation, we pray, in a new level of godly, Christ-like, Christ-loving, Christ-living lifestyle. And this we pray at every level of life in this nation. And this we pray and ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us today on Challenge, and until we have a chance to do this again, be blessed.